And then when I came to Cyprus, gradually I got into the international business that is being conducted from Cyprus. And I realized actually that the horizons from Cyprus are much, much wider. And those errors have an impact on lives that of the ones that you love most. So, the important thing here to be said is that fathers and children should develop that kind of bond whereby there is room for accepting each other's shortcomings.
I'm Farah Shamas. Welcome to Hotel Talk. We hope you enjoy listening to this friendly conversation between people connected by real life in hotels. Welcome back to another episode of Hotel Talk. And today I have with us Andreas Athinodoro, who's a Cypriot living here in Cyprus and the CEO of ATG Fund Services. But Andreas is going to talk to us about lots of things, not just what he does and his fund administration, fund management, and a multi-family office services, but lots more. But first of all, Andreas, thank you so much for coming onto this episode of Hotel Talk.
Farah, good morning. Thank you for your invitation. I'm excited to be here and take part in this small conversation.
Me too. So let's start with telling the listeners and the viewers a little bit about you and what you do and who are you?
Great. As you said, I'm Cypriot, so born and bred in Cyprus. My name is Andreas. I was born in Nicosia, but spent a lot of my younger years in Kerinia. So I'm saying this so that it links in very much with some of the things that we're going to talk a bit later. I studied in the UK and lived there for about 10 years and then moved back to Cyprus. And the entrepreneurial spirit kicked in and set up my own business in 1998. And since 1998, I developed a number of businesses that led to the ATG Group that we have today, with a focus on investments, investment funds, and generally helping people with creating wealth.
Amazing. I think a lot of people definitely want to create wealth, so they need a lot of assistance in that and guidance. So tell us, why did you had your time in the UK? Whereabouts in the UK were you?
I studied in Southampton.
Oh, okay, and then, close to my mom.
And then really loved the south of the UK, and then moved for work to the West Country in Bristol and Windsor. So I spent most of my time in the southwest, and I was there for almost 10 years.
That's amazing. So when you came back to Cyprus, what was the biggest challenge and opportunity that you had? I mean, obviously, it's a huge, I think a lot of people have quite a culture shock when they come back.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
For good things that they missed, but then other things that they realized, oh my goodness, that was different when I was working in the UK.
Look, when I was working in the UK, I was with one of the top four international firms in my field, and I had international clients and international projects. And at the time, in my mind, Cyprus was just a tiny island in the middle of nowhere with just links to nice sun and tourism. So I was really scared that I would lose that international outlook. And then when I came to Cyprus, gradually I got into the international business that is being conducted from Cyprus. And I realized actually that the horizons from Cyprus are much, much wider. So when you're in the UK, you do UK business. When you're in Cyprus, you do international business. So I ended up from a position of, am I going to have any international clients, to actually working with clients from Japan, India, Russia, the Middle East, to UK and North America, all in a 24 hours day.
Amazing. That's so interesting. So you mentioned Kyrenia, and you have a strong connection with the Nautical Club of Kyrenia and charity work that you've set up there. So can you tell us a bit about that? Because I think it's fascinating and I'd love to know more as well.
Look, first of all, I have to say that Kyrenia has been very strongly engraved in my younger years. I love the sea, and this is where I learned how to swim. I love the underwater, and this is where I had the first glimpse through a mask, of the underwater world. And that really left a very strong bond in my heart with a specific town. We had to leave Carignan because of the war in 1974, but the passion and the connection with Carignan, with all that it symbolizes in my psyche, is still there. So after I created my own business and I said, okay, now I'm ready to, you know, pay forward some of the things that I've created, I realized that Carignan was my first choice. So I wanted to give back in a way that it represents some of my beliefs, some of the things that I stand for in life, some of the things that I'm very passionate about. And I found the Nautical Club of Carignan. So Carignan, as a town where I was brought up, symbolizes, let's say, freedom and return back to values. Mm-hmm. And then it's a nautical club, so it's got the strong connection with the sea. And it's a club which has a connection with sports and health and mobility. So all combined together, it actually gave me a forum where I could help and express what I had to say. I got involved in kayaking back in 2008, and I realized that it was a sport that I really, you know, got me excited, and it was an all-year-round sport. We could kayak around Cyprus, we could kayak in the water dams in the winter, and I could actually go kayaking for a holiday. So I've done long-distance kayaking in Greece, on long-distance kayaking in Cyprus, aww, and spent weekends up in Yermasoya water dam with the team. In the last few years, we have a very passionate young coach who has really inspired a lot of the young kids in Limassol primarily, but now we're having kids from other towns joining our club to join kayaking. And he really got them inspired. And he asked for my help to actually make the connection back to Carignan. A lot of people don't even know where Carignan is because of the war lines, but actually Carignan is now more of a symbol. And this is what we wanted to elevate it for, to elevate it back to a symbol of freedom and elevate it back to a symbol of values and elevate it back to a symbol of inclusion. So with the guidance of Andreas, who had the idea of actually engaging with kids with special needs, kids, you know, spending life on wheelchairs, we developed the concept of freedom and mobility through sports. And we invited kids from wheelchairs to come and join our kayaking team. At the moment, we have 17 para-kayakers, aww, who are actually training with the team of Carignan, like proper full-blown athletes. Mm. And they actually took part in the first all-Cypriot kayaking races last September. And it's quite amazing because, first of all, you see the transformation in the lives of these kids who actually get a purpose in life. Mm. They realize that they are not confined in a wheelchair and they have the same abilities as anybody else sitting in a kayak. Mm. So they obtain the freedom through the mobility and sports. And then looking at the kids who are athletes without any special needs or special circumstances in their lives, embracing the kids with the special needs and the special abilities is actually very heartwarming. And then the parents, when they saw the transformation of their kids, they were so excited to invite their families and friends. So it's a project that gives back to the people that are have the special needs and the abilities. It gives back to the people that are within the community, mm-hmm, of the Carignan Nautical Club. But it's actually now rippling out to anybody who comes into contact with the idea. And our intention in the long term is actually to export the idea of freedom of mobility through sports with the brand of Carignan to every single nautical club across the Hellenic world. And the idea here is actually to elevate Carignan back to what it is, a symbol of freedom and return back to values and inclusion, despite of any political and military problem that may still exist in Cyprus. Carignan will be elevated to a symbol status that nobody can take away.
Mm. That's so beautiful. Yeah, I read a quote recently that, it's not about whether we have the means, it's whether we have meaning. And
absolutely. And you know, when we started this, it was about 13 guys with our own kayaks, and we had to share and give them out to other people. No real funding from anybody, and it was actually friends and family chipping in their spare money to buy the next paddle and the next kayak. And now we are actually seeing so many people wanting to contribute to this cause, which is really, really heartwarming. And the only thing that did this was actually the fact that it gave a meaning to what it is that these kids are doing with the coach.
Yeah.
So absolutely right.
Yeah, and reminds everyone as well that the glass can be half full. You know, whatever the situation is, there's so much there. I've read so many different stories of, people in wheelchairs, but taking it in such a positive way and going on to do so much and achieving so much. And this is maybe the first step for a lot of them, and gaining their confidence and feeling part of a community.
A lot of the kids that have joined, I call it the dream team. They bring in a different level of spirit. So the minute that you find that you're confined in a wheelchair, you develop faculties and strengths of spirit beyond what you and I are capable of. And they are bringing this into the dream team. So our athletes are all inspired by things that you don't normally find in the sports world.
Yeah.
So a really exciting times.
Yeah, I love that. So how can someone contribute?
Well, first of all, we'd like to invite you, your kids, your viewers to come on a Saturday and watch the team and get to know us. There is an Instagram page that we can share with you. But if you really want to contribute in financial means, we're happy to share with you the information leaflet with a bank account. You provide us your name, your logo. You will be listed in the team of sponsors. If you're a company, you'll have your logo on the jerseys of our athletes. But most importantly, you will take part in the events as our guest. And one thing that we want to introduce, and this is starting from June, is that for the sponsors, we will invite them to spend a day with one of our para kayakers on a kayak. So the para kayaker will actually be coaching the sponsor, spend a day with us in a kayaking event. So you will get hands-on experience, first-hand experience of what it feels like for our athletes, our para kayaking athletes, to sit in a kayak, start from scratch, and experience the freedom and mobility through sports.
I love that. And of course, if you are listening to this, then do share this episode with as many people as you can, because if it gets the most amount of downloads before September, then Andreas can donate the 1,000 euros that we give to any charity of choice for whoever's the most downloaded episode. So that could be another great way.
Farah, if I could just also add, we took part in a very special event 2 weeks ago, which is called the Cyprus Diaspora Forum.
Yeah.
So this was the first forum that took place in Cyprus that tried to connect Cypriots living in our little island with the faraway frontiers of the Cypriot society, which is our diaspora. And of course, we had the opportunity to talk business with many people, and we had the opportunity to connect with friends and family who were here at the diaspora. But actually talking to them about the Gerinia project, the freedom and mobility through sports, it was the most heartwarming and the most connecting point of our conversation for two reasons. First of all, the human angle of the inclusion of all strata of society back into sports, but the fact that for everybody living out there, Gerinia still stands as a symbol of freedom and return to values. So I'm excited to share that a lot of the people are following Gerinia now from abroad and its activities with NOC, and exciting times ahead.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, on that note, tell us a little bit about growing up in Gerinia. That now unfortunately is in the occupied area, but people coming to Cyprus and you living in Limassol, Maybe you could give a little bit of insight to someone. What could they do that is maybe off the beaten track to experience real Cyprus? Like, where would you recommend? Because you have so many clients from abroad that come. Where would you say, look, you're here for a week or a day or 3 days. You've got to do this. You've got to see that. Live it like a local.
Yeah.
What would your advice be?
Look, the business people, when they have a client visiting from abroad, the first thing that they would do is take them out for lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
If you talk to my clients and my staff, I go one step beyond that and say, well, come and share the sports and the things that give me fascination in life. So I quite enjoy hiking. I like the sea and I like snorkeling. So I invite my clients out for a hike. So I've taken my clients up to Troodos. I've taken my clients to hikes in Pisuri. And the ones that are willing to cross the line with me, hiking in Pentadaktylos, you know, amazing trails where you can see real nature of Cyprus in all four seasons. So you have from the white cliffs of Cape Aspro to the 360 of the whole of Cyprus mountain trails of Artemis, to actually experiencing the northern coastline and very interesting mountains of Pentadaktylos. Now, when it comes to the sea, most of my good clients have already tried kayaking. We even organized a couple of evening kayakings with a team. So last August, you know, when we had these two moons in August, special summer moon events, we had two kayaking events for over 30 people.
Wow.
So we went out into the sea when the moon was coming out of the water. Everybody had a chance to paddle into the openness and the darkness of the sea with the backdrop of the moon. And of course, with a nice dinner after that. And that really created a good bond with the sea, but also with the team and the clients.
How nice. I love that.
But the experience that I always carry from Kerinya is the first glimpse of the underwater world. So this is when I was given my first face mask.
Yeah.
it's quite funny, you know, when I was in Kerinya, I was 6-7 years old. So the face mask that my father bought me was like huge. And I could literally just get a split second view and then empty it and go back into it again. So when I grew up on this side in Limassol, and I actually bought my first snorkeling mask where I could stay under the water for more than just a split second, I remember going into the water 7 o'clock in the morning and then, you know, distinct voice of my Cypriot mother, Adere, come out late in the afternoon.
Still
you know, still there. So, definitely a, you know, strong bond, the water and the sea.
Water, I think it is. I mean, we're an island and I think just especially for those that grew up on the seaside towns, the sea is just such an important part of our culture and heritage. And
Farah, please beautiful. Bear in mind that I grew up in Nicosia and in a family that they're not such sea lovers. So I had to escape almost every weekend from a young age, learning how to dive or go to a nautical club to keep my connection with the sea until I came to a point where I chose to spend more of my time by the sea.
Mm. Yeah, life's a choice.
Yeah.
So you're a dad, and I love asking fathers about the experience being fathers, but I think I'm going to ask you not for any tips, but I'm sure your children are going to listen to this podcast. So what would you like them to hear?
I think first of all, it's a blessing to be a father, and sometimes you enter this role and you take it for granted, but guys, you know, when you're a father and you're blessed with children, just be thankful for having that role.
Mm.
The second thing is that it's a very challenging role and it doesn't come with a manual. So it's a trial and error, and there is more errors in most of the cases than getting things right from the beginning. And those errors have an impact on lives that of the ones that you love most. So you know, the important thing here to be said is that fathers and children should develop that kind of bond whereby there is room for accepting each other's shortcomings and recognizing that this is actually the source of strength in a relationship that goes beyond time and place. So both of my kids now are not in Cyprus. So my daughter is living and working in London. My son is in his third year in university in the UK. So I don't spend with them as much time as I would like to. But I actually feel that the objective that I had as a dad, which was give them strong roots, but help them to grow their own wings, is something that to a, the level that I feel happy with, I managed to offer it. It's a difficult task to have roots and values without suffocating. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to grow wings without actually make them fly away too early.
Yeah.
And it's always a trial and error.
And it's a balance, yeah. And we do our best. We do our
exactly.
best. We're human
exactly.
as well. And I think as our kids grow up, they realize that more and more. So what you've already said a very nice quote just now, but what is your favorite quote if you have one?
I really enjoy motivating people for a cause, and people come to me to share their cause and get the structure and motivation. So I have to say that you know, in this conversation, the quote that comes to mind is "Let's make it happen." I really enjoy it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Again, it's a positive mindset. It's about being taking your life and your attitude in your own hands and turning things around. So we have a tradition on this podcast where all the team get to ask at St. Raphael Resorts, get to ask a question. They don't know who's going to pick it out. We put it in this crystal bowl.
Oh,
so choose anything you want. Shall I read it to you?
Yes, please.
Hope it's, oh my goodness. And this is a Greek question. So actually you're going to have to read this out. I can't even read the last part.
Κατά υπέρ και τα κατά στον επαγγελματικό τομέα. So what are the pros and cons in the professional sector?
I guess the professional sector that you're in. And I think we'll have to narrow that down a bit. But yeah.
Sure. Let me start off with what I see as the pros to this. Now, I work in a sector, and you'll see this on our website, which is about wealth. And in our website, you'll see the quote which says, create, protect, and grow wealth. Now, we've expanded the definition of wealth to going beyond money. And wealth includes things like expanded awareness of opportunities, stronger relations between associates and business people, projects that align to core values.
Mm.
So one of the prongs that I see in my professional sector is that it allows me the freedom to paint my own definition of wealth and inspire that to the people that work in our team and our clients.
Mm.
So that's a very big prong in my mind. What I see as a downside is that working with money, which is like at the core of any wealth equation, is very much linked to people with greed and where values can actually get diluted.
Mm.
And setting boundaries and being able to discern is something that is on a daily basis, even with people that come across as open and bearing gifts with open hands. So the concept is that not everybody shares the same values and the same definition of money and wealth.
Mm.
And it may lead to relationships that end up in dead ends or upset people simply because of these lack of shared values. And this is definitely something that makes me upset because I'm on the outset of let's make it happen on a very positive note. And it always disappoints me when I see people fall short on the values that they claim they have.
Mm. And also, I imagine a lot of people are quite I mean, many wealthy entrepreneurs, unfortunately, are statistically quite unhappy within their own lives. It's part of the reason that makes them so successful. Yeah. But on the other hand, they're always looking at where they want to be and they're not there yet, as opposed to what they've achieved and what they've done and being more positive. So I'm sure you see quite a lot of that.
Farah, you're spot on. So this lack of balance that I see in my line of business, actually the imbalance is even greater in people that have the financial means that you would consider that they were more balanced than the people that worry about their finances. Yeah. So I've seen people flying with one wing with no money, but I've also seen the people flying with one wing with loads of money, but zero understanding of the rest of the areas of life and values.
Mm. Yeah. It's really interesting. Well, on that note, I think we'll round up the episode and just say thank you so much. I think there's been so much food for thoughts here and a lot of great takeaways. I definitely will come now as well. It's springtime. It's the nicest time to enjoy the sea and water sports, and I'll bring the kids and we'll come down to the Nautical Club of Kyrenia and see you guys kayaking. And I can't wait to hear more of everything you're doing. I hope the charity goes well. And I hope that most importantly, everyone in that community flourishes. And as you said, it's a ripple effect. People are happy. And even if it's not directly in the Nautical Club of Kyrenia, those people go out, they go to a supermarket, they buy something, they smile, that person smiles, they bump into someone, and the ripple effect is just huge. So never underestimate all you're doing. And thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button because it helps us more than you may realize. If you are planning on coming to visit us at St. Raphael Resort and Marina, feel free to email our reservations team quoting Hotel Talk and receive an exclusive offer just for you. We look forward to seeing you soon, hearing your feedback about our show, and producing many, many more interesting episodes just for you, our listener and our valued guest in mind. Thank you so much and take care.